years.
Okay, now we are going up to number 8, 2402, in regards to Diego Flores, DBM. Tracy, if you'll read the summary.
Yes, case 2402, the complainant is Julie Georgian and the informant is Diego Flores, DBM. On August 11, 2022, Sugar, a 14-plus-year-old female poodle mix, was presented to respondent as a walk-in euthanasia. Complainant was a new client. Staff created an account, provided an estimate of fees, and had complainant sign an authorization consent form. Due to respondent finishing up a surgery, complainant had to wait in the exam room with the pet. The dog was sedated and respondent entered the exam room. Complainant stated that the respondent euthanized the dog with her in the room. She only wanted to be present for the dog's sedation, not for the final injection. According to respondent, the dog was euthanized after complainant left the room. In May 2023, complainant sent respondent a letter expressing her concerns with her experience at the premises and the dog's euthanasia. She requested respondent change hospital policies and procedures and provide her with evidence of the changes. Respondent did not respond. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Okay, thank you. We do not have the complainant present, but they did provide a post-investigative committee statement. And we do have Dr. Flores present, as well as his attorney, Mr. Stoll.
We're just monitoring.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, and let's see then. Dr. Nosley, you are the lead on this one.
Okay, thank you. In this case, with euthanasia cases, I try to look at them from the owner's perspective as much as I can, because these can be, as we all know, sometimes very difficult. With owners' expectations sometimes are quite different from reality when it comes to euthanasias, and it's always an emotionally charged situation. This situation is unique in that this was a new client, never been to this facility, and was a walk-in, and the doctor happened to be in surgery and was unavailable. So we have this is the situation. In my opinion, patients should always be evaluated by the doctor. I know I have refused to euthanize pets. I don't know about the other members of the board, but I have, after my evaluation, refused to euthanize. Euthanasia is rarely an emergency except in rare circumstances. So all of these are factors. And when I listen to the read the materials and listen to the narratives, some of the points made by the complainant were correctly modified after she had time to reflect. In other words, the initial letter had some things in it, and after reflection she realized that it was not appropriate to say that the doctor made a medical decisions and concerns over paperwork and that type of thing. I very much sympathize with the complainant regarding the patient's struggles in the waiting area, struggling to breathe, and the effect that would have on her emotions at the time. So I have a little overall different take on the situation from the investigative committee, with more concern about the complainant's experience in this case. I have questions of why didn't they help find another clinic to do the euthanasia, or at least try to. And I agree with some of the points, at least to a certain degree, with some of the things that the complainant stated in her narrative and her letters. Unfortunately, the bottom line, best practices are an opinion. That's an opinion, and they are not minimum standard of care. The patient came into the facility to be euthanized, and that was done. I have some concerns regarding the sedation administration to this patient. Sugar was sedated without any examination by the respondent. The statement was made only the vet can give a final shot. That assumes it's okay for a non-veterinarian to give other injections in these situations. Maybe Dr. Thompson, could I ask you about shelter medicine, or maybe you know about animal control, about the staff administering sedation? Is that it?
In shelter medicine, staff administer sedation.
But what is the doctor's involvement with that?
Generally speaking, the animal at some point has been evaluated. Again, the shelter is a little different.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
But at some point has been evaluated, but it could have been a day or two ago, and then there's a plan in place for that animal to have a procedure done, and it's said, you know, give per weight. We have charts that are drawn up. The technicians then give that.
That's all done by the doctor, and then respondent states only that sedation was given. The CBT states that she got permission to sedate from the respondent. So then I question who calculated the dose, what was the route of administration, and one of the drugs given was tilazole. That's a controlled substance. That magnifies the concerns. So I wonder, are we moving into the territory of a CBT cannot prescribe, or even a CBT cannot give a prognosis? Did they do so in this case? The doctor never saw the patient. You could make a case that there was no VCPR, or there certainly was no exam by the doctor. I also have concern that the respondent did not have any communication with the complainant, either at the visit or in response to her letter, other than, do you want to be present for when he finally did the euthanasia? He did have that contact. So I realize that's a lot of two different issues, but I would make a motion to dismiss the case with no violation and issue a letter of concern regarding improving communication and to review the statutes regarding what a CBT can do and what they can't do. That would be my motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Yeah, this case was interesting to me because, on initial reading it, the owner didn't exactly follow what they had asked as far as, giving them a heads up that she was coming in. She was not an established patient. I understand it sounded from, the owner wanted her pet euthanized and it had breathing difficulties, but I'm with you. I suddenly realized, wait a second, this client's never been seen there before. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, then I'm glad that the Dr. Flores stayed in his surgery instead of leaving one patient on the table to go, tend to this other one that, was not truly an emergency for euthanasia. But all the while, then it was sedated before even seeing, again, confirming that there wasn't, another option for this pet. So I support the letter, just a quick check of this patient to ensure that this was, mm-hmm, in fact, warranted.
So the question is, does it rise to a violation? Or is a letter of concern a...
I don't believe it rises to a violation.
Do you have any concerns about the tilazole? Do we have a premise issue with this premise and the tilazole not being stored properly and not being put into the controlled substance?
How do we know that it's not stored properly?
Because it was in a refrigerator?
It could have been in a safe.
Yes. Yeah, so it was not, the refrigerator when I went to do my inspection was not secured. And there was sterile diluent that was frozen, there was Baitrol that was frozen. So the refrigerator was definitely below 32 degrees, and I believe tilazole is 36 to 46, up to 56 days.
But I don't know if we can, that's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah, that's why.
But in terms of its security.
The refrigerator itself locks, but when I did my inspection, the refrigerator was not locked.
Okay, but we have to remember, we want to keep them separate, I think, as far as we.
Well, yeah.
Could have been unlocked that day too, but if we.
Right, so I'm not sure that we can make any assumptions on how the Tylosol was kept in this case.
Yes.
Right?
Or the whether, yeah, in this particular case.
We have opinions and make assumptions, but yeah.
I agree. Okay.
So, Madam Chair, I'd like to, on the record, one of the things that struck me was, one, this, the complainant didn't go to their regular veterinarian to have this done, because it sounds like they knew this day was coming, and then all of a sudden that day was here, and so instead of going to whoever they've been taking this dog to all these years, they decided to call somebody else out of the blue and go there instead. One. And then she filed, the complaint was filed because the veterinarian would not respond with, okay, here's how I have changed my plans, just because you asked. So, this person who did not plan very well, didn't have a good plan, wants to demand that the veterinarian that she wasn't satisfied with come up with a plan that she's satisfied with. So the whole thing just kind of seems a little bit ridiculous on that end.
Right.
Okay. Could communication have been better? Yes. And could she have said, oh, you mean I gotta wait? Okay, I'll go somewhere else. I mean, I don't think the respondent had to come out and tell her to go somewhere else. Or staff had to tell her to go somewhere else.
Well, in 40 minutes.
She could have just done it.
40 minutes isn't four hours.
It's not that
hard. I mean, I maybe in the grand scheme of things, that seems like a long time when you're facing euthanasia, but.
This is a case of misplaced grieving.
Yeah.
That's all this is.
Does Jane have something to add?
Yes, I'm concerned that there are two potential violations here. One is no establishment of a VCPR, and the second is no exam prior to treatment of any kind, whether it's euthanasia or anything else. So to me, those are clearly in violation of our minimum standards and our statutes.
So rather than your concern, you would find a violation.
Correct.
The 40 minutes is what it took to establish the VCPR. You take all the information, and then the doctor looked at it, and the doctor met her in person. It's established. That's it.
It's established.
That's all a VCPR is.
It's established.
All you gotta do is meet each other.
I agree.
And look at the animal.
Did the veterinarian look at the animal?
What about the examination?
Yeah.
The vet did look at the animal, though.
He did look at the animal.
Well, when it was, yeah.
And then he euthanized it.
Sedated, I guess.
Yeah, it was after sedation.
He was asked to do it.
You could have woken it up from the sedation if you decided otherwise.
He looked at it? Do we have an exam?
Yeah.
Do we have an examination? Evidence of an examination?
I wasn't talking about the exam. I was talking about the VCPR.
So that's a medical record.
That's a different issue.
That's a medical record. That's a different issue. It had no effect on the outcome of the case.
I think we have a motion that went a second. Do we just want to vote on that?
The motion was letter of concern.
Dismiss with a letter of concern.
Letter of concern.
Okay. I'm sorry. Will you clarify again with the letter?
Yes. That the respondent did not have communication with the client before or after the visit, and that there was no examination prior to, and the sedation was given without examination.
I think you had also stated the CBT, reading the statutory abilities of the CBT.
Thank you, yes.
And I do want to clarify, I'm not sure that his assistant was actually a CBT.
Oh, okay. I thought I read it that she was, but that.
Okay. So
that could be adjusted if she was not. Okay.
Okay. Let's go ahead and vote on that. All those in favor of offering Dr. Flores, sorry. Issuing Dr. Flores a letter of concern, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
So 1, 2, 3.
Was it?
Were there a roll call?
Who were?
All nays, raise your hands.
Dr. Thompson?
Yep.
What time?
So we're doing aye. Ms. Solomon?
Nay.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. Nollesley?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
I'm saying nay for a dismissal.
I'm saying aye, so.
You can ask me?
Sorry, I missed you.
You went in bad order.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so it was four.
I was looking at you when I started, that's why.
Five to two.
Five to two.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Settles that case. So now we are, since we have Dr. Flores here, we are now going to skip down to his other item, and forgive me while I find. Okay, so we are gonna now go down to section number five, reports, correspondence, referrals, and other business. Item number three, the board may review, discuss, and take action on premise inspection results. So this is for BND. And then Mr. Loki, you are the lead on these. Sorry.
All right, so generally, on these, it's three strikes you're out, then you've got two strikes.
And yeah, I don't know if
So I'm a little torn on that.
Do we want staff to?
So the one case that I did, let me throw out the one case that I absolutely do want to absolutely want to open a case on the Aztec Animal Hospital. There is missing tramadol, a lot of it.
This is quartz, right?
This is quartz, right?
What? He's doing quartz, B and D.
Aztec.
So yeah, quartz and Aztec, right? That's.
So do we just keep them separate, or do we? We're doing B first. She called.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
It's a separate facility.
Yeah.
So, and it's a separate item, so that one's yeah. We're gonna open the case on that one.
Okay, I'm sorry, so say that again.
I move that we open a case on the Aztec, open a case for the Aztec Animal Hospital premise inspection.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second to open a case on D, Aztec Animal Hospital. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Do you want Mr. Flores to make his own statements, or Dr. Flores?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Tracy.
We don't always.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and then with regards
so
to
the other, start back at the top. I think generally we've done three strikes and you're out, and maybe that's because we didn't have the manpower to be there more often or to come back and re-inspect as quickly, because I think these were all done. These are all done within about 6 months, right? And we asked you to go back, and within 6 months, you went back again. They're all fairly short.
We did specifically go back very quickly because of the extreme nature of what she saw at both those practices.
Okay.
Is there anything staff wants to share while we're going over these items?
I don't know anything, if there's anything specific other than what's in the materials,
okay.
Other than certainly there's a cross of the two, that it's difficult to separate the two because how they were handling the drugs.
Okay.
On Quartz Mountain
Aztec? We want to inspect. I mean, I'm fine if Dr. Flores is waving his hand that he would like to share something. Is that,
sure.
Mark, is that a, okay. Sure, if you would like to come forward and have
sure.
a seat.
I'm glad. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Diego Flores. Thanks for letting me walk in and talk to you guys. I knew something was not right initially because obviously that re-inspection, it is not normal. I've been practicing for 25, 30 years now. And the COVID put us all into a backlog of things. You guys were backlog, going to inspections and everything else, and I'm glad you guys made the inspection and made us found issues thanks to the inspection. Obviously, the refrigerator is one thing that we saw, the frozen refrigerator, but that's not affecting the medication that is around. It is a small refrigerator. Now, since you know about the Tylosol issue, which we, I'm pretty sure everybody is aware that as I'm in the, in this supplemental agenda, I think there is a, I bought horse mountain about 6 years ago, and initially the doc, the veterinarian there was not the one of the responsible veterinarian for the practice, which I understand. So it's mainly an administrative issue. We were ordering the medications through Aztec, and we were selling it and invoicing it to Corpus. Now, mistakes happen everywhere. So we are renewing the, my DA license, and I cannot renew it automatically. I cannot renew it automatically. All this time, we realized that, and I asked my team leader, like, what's going on with this? Like, I'm just going online and renew it. And they say you cannot renew it online. My social security number is an error in the DAA, so my last number was not correct. Renew that one, and since, and that just happened 3 or 4 months ago. That's, so basically DAA has had this mistake for 4 years. I have DAA license and all this stuff. Now, a couple of years ago, I moved, a year and a half ago, I moved myself to Coors, and there's a different veterinarian at Aztec. And I'm trying to streamline because I think it's a problem. It's more an issue of keeping an account of these medications when in here, even though we sell it and transfer the medications and the, every controlled substance that is sent to one place and the other. I say, you know what? We have 2 accounts on each clinic. May as well go streamline it. For each clinic, this clinic ordered this and this clinic ordered this. Every so often you run into the facility that the issue is, we run out of this medication. The other clinic has it. It takes 3 or 4 days to get it from the manufacturer. So we transfer medication properly from one clinic to the other with the invoice and everything else. So I think the expired medication that you guys are alluding there, it was a expired medication that was expired and was transferred to the clinic and that was disposed. And I think the answer, we gave the answer last night to Annalise, that was disposed of. Now, you have, that is basically what has been going on. By the way, the like mistakes happen, there are facility, premise license for Aztec, you guys had it as R1524, that's not correct either. It is R1504. So everybody makes mistakes. We are trying to streamline the whole situation, but I think that it's already passed and we already have a system in place and there's never been malicious or intent to move medication somewhere without a legal way that has been done. So I don't know if that explains the situation. And I think that's all we have going on. I don't know if you have questions for me because I'm here, may as well go at it.
Well, you may want, if you're going to open a case, that would be part of that. Okay. His response would be part of the case if the case is open.
Right.
Yeah.
Once all this information is received. A lot of this piece is what you're referring to is really more of the DEA's purview. That piece of it, the level, the crossing over and things like that. Mm-hmm. So you may want us to refer that to the DEA, that piece of it. Probably the biggest, is it Quartz Mountain where there's 950 tramadol?
It was Aztec that was 987 tramadol, and then I did receive a response from your practice manager last night, which I did forward to Victoria, that the 987 tramadol were disposed of in an Albertsons drop box.
Yep.
In Scottsdale. So
that's the more the DEA's issue of, was that properly documented and properly disposed of? So that's not necessarily our issue.
Okay.
But it could be an issue. But it isn't necessarily.
They don't even receive for disposal of any medication.
Can I ask a question around that or not right now?
Sure.
Did you fill out a Form 41, the DEA?
Disposal of the medication? No, we haven't, because it was within the last couple of days of disposal, yeah. But we can fill it out. If I need to figure out a different way to do all these things, I mean, that's what I'm here for, working this out with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing being.
Because I don't know if we need a copy of that Form 41 or not.
That would be helpful, you know, that's for the DEA to decide. It sounds like it should have been filled out, and it wasn't. So that's for the DEA to, you know, provide education on that piece of that.
Right, and obviously, I mean, there's still a lot of beyond the controlled drugs places, though, just a lot of other issues in addition. I know we always focus on, obviously, when we have missing controlled drugs, but there's a lot of other things that need addressed as well. So anyways, we've opened case on both, though, so unless there's.
Did we open on both?
Yeah, we haven't got to the other.
Okay.
So on the others, I mean, part of our job is to make sure we don't have the third strike and bring down the hammer. So I'm going to move, we'll take them one at a time, but I'm going to move that we open the case on all of these. So they do have to do more than just their response back to Annalise about the potential violations. They've also got to tell us exactly what they've done and some corrective action. And then hopefully that third time doesn't happen. Because the third time, particularly when it comes to the controlled substances, there's going to be some repercussions.
When you mean the second time, like they respond to Annalise,
third time.
If
we do this, this is a little bit more notification what they generally get, right? Generally, the first time, here's your list of potential violations, they respond back, here's what I did to fix it. Happens again, here's how they fixed it. The third time is generally when we get it, and we say boom, 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 three times. You said you fixed it twice before, and you said you fixed it now, but it's still not fixed. That's generally when we bring them in, ask a lot of questions, and then particularly if it's controlled substances are involved.
Yes.
Yeah, but
we're
going to
be hard and fast on.
I mean, we were there in July and then in November. Right? Am I
right? And things.
And they were the same.
And they didn't get fixed.
You look at it, it's
so
like,
we're taking by opening a case now, not waiting for that third one, maybe we address it. I don't know what we're going to, when they answer back, but it is making them take one more step, right? That they don't have to just say, okay, here, I fixed it, and send Annalisa an email. Now they've got to show it all to us, and they got to come in here and tell us what they did. Focus in the eye and tell us they did it.
Well, to me, he's already here telling us
He's already here.
And he's going to be here again because we opened the case on Aztec. So when we're talking just about the two that Dr. Flores has, you're looking at Quartz and Aztec. He's already told us on Quartz. We already see what he's saying he's doing about it.
I think
the question is, when do we want to inspect again? And I agree. If they don't get fixed, then at least he's getting to hear. The third time, we're not kidding. Like, at least he's here to hear that, right? Because that is.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we've hired new staff. We're getting out there more frequently. On the other hand, do we want to make staff do it the third time?
Well, yeah, that's
or
where
would,
I'm like,
would
wait
we
a
like
second.
Staff to go in there
the
next
there twice
time
in less
and,
than six
and
months.
Have a just a clean slate that, oh, great. I don't have anything potential violations to write down. That's fantastic.
Victoria, would you like to add anything?
Madam Chair, members of the board, I think Mr. Lougheed said it earlier, is that typically you were waiting till the third strike because it had been a long time since that very, the third one, the very first one that happened was quite a while ago, right? It was at least 5 years ago. Because we are able to go back a little bit quicker now, there's less turnaround time. And here you have a factual pattern of we went the first time in what month, Annalise?
End of July.
July. And then because of the nature of the extreme nature of so many and the concerns, the board told us to go back quicker. We did, we went back, and some things were fixed, but some things were still not corrected.
Right.
So why do we think it's going to be any different now if we go back again? It hasn't been like years have gone by.
Right.
And things had a chance to fall apart. Either they were never fixed and we were told they were fixed, or they've already, or the processes have broken down to a point that they're not going to be able to maintain. And that's what we care about, right? That's we want them to be able to maintain whatever process they have. And because there are a few things that were repeated from the July, they've shown us that they haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of what do you want to do with that information.
So we've opened one instead of prolonging this.
Okay.
I move we open a case for Coolidge Veterinary Hospital regarding the premise.
No, courts.
No, I'm going in order.
He's doing all of number five.
I'm doing this section in order.
Okay.
Coolidge Veterinary Hospital. Open a case for Coolidge Veterinary Hospital.
Okay, hold on, let's vote on each one. All those in favor of opening a case on Coolidge Veterinary Hospital?
Wait a second.
Oh, yeah.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to open a case on Coolidge. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion passes.
I move we open a case in the courts of Fountain Animal Hospital based on the premise inspection.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
That was an aye on the first one for you too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Motion passes, so now on to Danza Del Sol.
And Chair, I move that we open a case on Danza Del Sol Veterinary Medical Center.
Second.
Based on the premise inspection.
Motion and a second to open a case. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. You said nay.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. I'm not sure that entire agenda item was actually read out
before
the recording. So maybe if that's okay, Mark, because we originally started, she called the item as just to talk about Quartz and Aztec, and then you ended up talking about all four.
Correct.
So, Madam Chair, maybe Mark, if you agree, just to read that whole item.
Sure. Okay, sorry. I just thought since Dr. Flores was here, we would take his item, so I didn't mean to confuse everyone. So we were on section number five, item number three, board may review, discuss, and take action on premise inspection results. We went over A, PO512, Coolidge Veterinary Hospital, Audie Wood, DVM. We went over B, R2597, Quartz Mountain Hospital, Quartz Mountain Animal Hospital, Diego Flores, DVM. We did C, R4056, Danza Del Sol Veterinary Medical Center, Kelly Shamrell, DVM. And then D, R1524, Aztec Animal Hospital, Diego Flores, DVM.
And Madam Chair, as Dr. Flores pointed out, our error is the premise license number is actually R1504 for Aztec. We'll make that correction.
And then the vote on that was?
Sorry, say that again.
The vote on that?
On the last one?
Yeah.
It was to open a case, and that was.
Right, and what was the vote?
Six to one.
Pardon?
Six to one.
Okay, yeah. We need to make sure that the votes are heard.
Okay.
Perfectly good.
And then, we did A. I guess that was fine, because we had that person's coming in. So we're done with that item then.
Do we discuss the DEA part during the actual informal, or our thoughts as a board on the DEA piece? I understand that the tramadol was found, but the fact that we're transferring drugs between two clinics, and it's because we don't have a DEA. Like you should have a DEA license for each address that you're ordering drugs from. And if we don't have a DEA at one of the locations, we can't sell those drugs or transfer those drugs to that. So
I think that's part of the case, though.
That's what I was asking. Yeah. Do we address that during the case, or is that something that we instruct staff to work on?
the DEA contact, so.
I think it's either, like if it's, you could, because with it, if it's just a referral, you could tell board staff to refer it to DEA now, or you could wait if you think that the information will change. And you may not want to do that after you open the case.
I would wait till the case information is there, I would think. No rush to anything there.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Flores, for being here.
Yes, thank you.
And sorry for the confusion on that one. Why don't we go ahead and take a break? Back in 4 or 5 minutes.
I forgot.